We're going to be in Colossians today and maybe next week. And we're just going to start in verse 1 and see how far we get. And that'll be all right. But we're going to pray in just a minute. Yeah. But I'm praying y'all will come help on Wednesday too. All right? Okay. I'm serious. Y'all, we need to be a praying church. Y'all are a giving church. You're a working church. You're a serving church. You're a worshiping church. But we need to be a praying church. And that's where we got to get. So, and it's my job to equip the saints to do that. Anyways, Father, thank you for the admonition and the privilege and the responsibility to pray. Men ought always to pray, the Bible says, and not lose heart. We ought to pray without ceasing. We're to pray for one another. Over and over again, the Bible tells us to pray. The disciples recognized where the power of the Lord came from, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. God, would you teach us to pray? And we lift all these needs up. Some of them are spiritual. Some of them are mental. Some of them are emotional. Some of them are physical. But there's all kinds of needs on this board. And Lord, you not only know about them, you're the one that created all these folks, and you've allowed some of this stuff to happen. And so, God, we just ask that you, the omniscient one, would do whatever you need to do in your will, because you got a better plan than we do. And so we lift up those needs, God. Many of them are family. Some of them are near and dear to our hearts. And ask God that you would do what you need to do in the way of healing. In your name we ask it. Amen. Now, let me tell you why Paul wrote the book of Colossians. Why is the book named Colossians? That's right. The city of Colossae. Paul had founded a church there in the city of Colossae. It was a place that was known for its cool spring water. There were teachers coming, and Paul warned all the New Testament churches of this. There were teachers coming into Colossae that were teaching heresy. They come into the church and saying that, yeah, you know, you got to have Jesus as your Savior, but you got to have this, 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 and this. And these folks were called Gnostics, Gnostich. And so Paul, in this great letter to the to the church in Colossae, he spells out the ABCs of the Christian life. The first two chapters of Colossians deal with doctrinal issues, and the last two chapters deal with practical issues. And so really the book of Colossians tells us what the Christian life is all about. Is that a pertinent message today? Do people need to understand what the Christian life's all about? Absolutely. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the... And no one... There you go. And Jesus said we could have this life. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 10:10 that we might have this life and have it. That's right. And so Jesus came to give us life, this spirit-filled life of a believer. But our society today tells you that there are a lot of avenues to have this kind of life. There's multiple roads and routes that'll lead you to heaven and lead you to have this abundant life. We call that pluralism, that every religion is both valid and true and good for you. That's pluralism. And then syncretism helps us manufacture our own religion. And that's really what a lot of people have today. They've taken bits and pieces of stuff, of religious stuff, and put it all together. And they've got their own religious belief system that thinks that's going to get them to heaven. And so do you see how appropriate and how practical the book of Colossians is? Because it's exactly what's going on here today. Have y'all got any kind of testimony, maybe something you've heard lately about what we're talking about here, about multiple ways to heaven?
That's what happened to me this week. There was a co-worker of mine, and two of them were talking about different beliefs. One doesn't believe, she does. Anyway, to make a long story short,
wow. I've had that discussion with a family member. If Jesus didn't tell the truth in John 14:6, he is the biggest liar or lunatic that ever lived. But he did tell the truth, and so he's Lord. Amen. And so what we're talking about here is huge. I mean, I talked about this with a family member about 6 months ago in my son's room. And that person said, well, you know what? I just don't believe God's going to send somebody that's never heard the gospel to hell. Oh, really? Well, that's not what the Word of God says. And so anyways, that's kind of where we're at with. And really, y'all, what matters is not what does Cal say or not what does Daniel say. What matters is what has God already said. And that's what the book of Colossians is all about. And Paul's day, folks, communicated how? Yeah, writing letters. And the first 14 verses in this book really are an introduction to the letter. And the letters in Paul's day always started off by stating who the letter was from, who the letter was being sent to, and along with a formal greeting. So let's see what this Christian life is all about. Are you ready? Okay. first of all, let's look at it. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So, what's he telling you there? Who's writing this letter? Okay. And Timothy, our brother, evidently Timothy's with him. This is one of the prison epistles, by the way, that we're kind of giving a name to these. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. So who's he writing to? There you go. Who live where? All right. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I believe the first truth here in the beginning of this letter is that the Christian life connects us. We're connected in this new relation, first of all. He says, to those who are in Christ, to those, he's writing to the saints. He's writing to the saints. And you've heard me say this multiple times. I'm probably putting you to sleep, but you're either a saint or you, that's right. There's only two kinds of folks. And the word saint in the Bible describes somebody who's been what? Somebody who's born again. Now, the average person does not know what it means to be born again. What does that mean? Spiritually born. Following Jesus. Separated from your sin. How does somebody get born again? How do you become a saint? ABCs. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting the moon calf look across the room right now. Paul.
Receiving the Holy Spirit.
Well, who is the Holy Spirit? I'm a lost person, okay? Who is the Holy Spirit? Is he going to knock me down? What's he going to do to me? Oh, the Trinity. What is the Trinity?
Our Creator.
So you see what I'm getting at? What am I getting at? you need to have a real simple, elementary definition of what it means and how you were born again. And somebody said it, ABC. Admit what? Yeah, we're sinners. And what does sin do to us? Separates us from God. Why is that? Because God's what? Holy. He can't have anything to do with sin. So the first thing you got to do is be willing to admit, yeah, Lord, I'm a sinner. And my sins are ever before you, and they have separated me from you. I've done wrong. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyways. I've broken your laws. That's what it means to admit. And then B is what? Believe. Believe what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I can't just believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay. Even the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Don't let them get off with that. The word believe, y'all have heard me say that this is a huge Bible word. And it means to place all of your weight, all of your emphasis on or in something or someone. The Bible word for believe. Y'all heard the story about going up in 20,000 feet in an airplane and strapping on the pilot says, oh, we're going to crash, but hey, what do you call those things? Put a parachute on in the back, jump out the plane when we tell you to, and then pull that ripcord and boom, you'll be what? Yeah, that's the Bible word for believe. So believe that Jesus is the Christ and that you give Him everything that you are to everything that He is. And then what does C stand for? Confess. Now, what does C, confess, mean? What is a confession? Turn away. Here's where this repentance thing comes in. All repentance is really, y'all, a spiritual U-turn. And you mention a U-turn to a lost person, they know immediately what you're talking about. And say, when you get Jesus, you make a spiritual U-turn. You turn from your sin and you turn to Him as your only means and mode of salvation. Okay? Now, I know Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. But we're not Jesus. Okay? And when somebody needs to know how to be born again and how to be saved, that's how you tell them. In layman's terms, okay? And so that's who Paul's writing to. He's writing to the folks who've been born again. He's writing to the saints. And he's also writing there to faithful brethren. Somebody comment on that. What does that say to us? Somebody who's been born again, somebody who's a believer is not only just in word only, but in what? Yeah, faithful brethren. Have mercy. That'll preach a sermon right there. I've preached through Colossians several times, and it usually takes me 3 weeks to get out of the first three verses. There's so much here. And so these folks are not just Christians. They're members also of the church in Colossae. Okay? I loved singing that old song today. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been cleansed by His blood. Join hands with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. Somebody give me a testimony. What does it mean to know that you're not only a member of Second Mile Church, you're a part of the family of God? What does that mean for you? Daniel, you're kind of quiet. Speak loudly.
We went to Christ the Hilo Church for the Good Friday service.
I was so glad y'all showed up. My knees were beating to the beat of Amazing Grace, and then they showed up.
It felt like we were right at home. That's what it is to be part of, you can go somewhere else and feel like you're home.
Ooh, that's good. You can go somewhere else and feel like you're a part of something. That's good. All right. So we're connected in this new relation. We're the saints of God. We're the faithful brethren and sistren. Is that a word? Melanie, is that a word, sistren? Can I say that? Okay. But we're also connected in a new location. And Paul says we're in Christ at Colossae. Now, Colossians, they lived about 100 miles east of Ephesus. And Ephesus was that was some kind of city there, which was on the coast of the Aegean Sea. You might kind of think of it in this way. Colossae made up the tri-cities of Asia Minor, along Hierapolis and Laodicea and Colossae, okay? Where are the tri-cities in Tennessee? Name them. There you go. There's kind of flavored with different tongues there, but Kingsport, Bristol, Johnson City. Those are the Tri-Cities. Well, you got the Tri-Cities in Asia Minor, and they were fairly close to one another, located west of Ephesus. And so Colossae was the geographical location of this particular church. But my spiritual location and yours is, guess where? In Christ. Isn't that good? In Christ. So y'all tell me what that means. What does it mean to be in Christ? Does that mean to be in the church? Does that mean to be in the baptistry? Does that mean to be in communion? Does that mean to be in the fellowship meal? What does it mean to be in Christ? Okay. There's a key word, adopted. Okay. Entirely. And see, that's what's going on here in Colossae. Oh, you got to have Jesus. That's right. But, and I'm a Gnostic because I know some things you don't know. See? And we'll get into that. But we're all in the family of God. And if you're in Christ, and you need to be born, that's right, you need to be born into the family of God. Because what? Why? Because in Adam, you're either in Christ or you're in Adam. And in Adam, all what? All die. Because sin, that's right, sin leads to death. So in Adam, all die. Adam disobeyed God, and we all fell physically, spiritually, emotionally, and we're all in the same boat because Adam is our father. But when you're born again, when you are in Christ, you have a new daddy. You got a new father, right? And his name is Father God. You see, the reason you need to be born again is our first birth was defective. And if your first birth is defective, what do you need? And that new birth needs to be the new birth, the birth from above. So if you're in Christ, you have everything you need to live the Christian life. That's what all this is rolling back to. Now, mercy me. Yeah. Well, we hadn't even got to grace and peace yet. So the Christian life connects us, but the Christian life changes us. The words grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, grace and peace were common words of greeting in Paul's day. Charis was the word of greeting in Greece, and shalom was the word of greeting in Palestine, in and around Jerusalem. And so Paul greets them in Greek and Hebrew. You understand what I'm saying? Charis and shalom. You understand what he's doing here? And he takes these two common words and fills them with brand new meaning. Isn't that exactly what Jesus does? Let's talk for just a minute about grace and peace. What do you know about grace? We don't deserve it. It's free. Well, what is this stuff that y'all are always talking about? What is this stuff about grace? What is that about? I am so glad you didn't say, grace is God's unmerited favor. There's no telling what Brother Shep said. But when you get 66, you can't remember that anymore, so... But yeah, that's an acrostic. I like that, Dick. Somebody else paid the bill. I like what Keith said a few minutes ago. Say it again, Keith. Hey, 66 too. All right. Here's the deal, y'all. It's like we were talking about in the message this morning. The grace of God is grace towards us. Yeah, man, we didn't deserve it. We can't work for it. We can't be good enough to go out and get it. And us men, I mean, we have problems with this because, man, we think you do this and you ought to get that. Well, that's not the way it is with Christianity. You need the grace of God. And grace is kind of hard to explain to somebody unless you get a real good story, kind of like what where Dick's coming from. Where'd you get that? It was grace that caused God to reach down in that miry pit of sin that I was in and pull me out of there. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peace. Those old hymns have great theology in them. Oh, we did it at the graveyard the other day. Amen. Ricky Jenkins' mother had passed away, and so it was raining. It was a nasty cold day, and I'm looking around at the graveyard. They had a graveside service, and I'm looking around, and there's the boy saws. And Mike asked me about the same time I asked him, "What are you doing here?" But anyways, they had a couple of preachers in the family, and they read scripture and spoke and did a good job, but then they began to sing. And it was like, and some of these folks were from different churches. They weren't all from the same church. But boy, they could sing. And they sang some of the old stuff. And I knew all of them, Melanie, except one. And I didn't know that one. But man, I listened and I learned. But there is something about, when God's people get together and begin to lift up praise with our voices in song, there's something that tells everybody else that God is a God of grace. He is a God of grace and He's a God of peace. Man, when you ask God to save you, you not only got peace with God, you got peace with others, you got peace within. Shalom. Yeah. There's 28 of us going to Israel. And y'all are going to hear, those of you that are going with me, you're going to hear the word shalom. Because they still speak that Hebrew over there in Jerusalem. And it's going to be, and your mind will go back to what we talked about here about peace. grace and peace to those. Yeah, they do. And we're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible says that. I believe it's Psalm 122, something like that. And so, how many of you also know Paul said God's grace is sufficient? It's sufficient for every situation, every circumstance. Hebrews 4:16. Anybody know that? Yeah, that's the latter part of it. There it is. That we may obtain mercy and find grace. You see, you can't work for grace. You find grace because it's given to you to help in time of need. You don't run down to the Home Depot and buy a gallon of grace. God's got the monopoly on grace. And He's the one who gives grace. And how many of you know, He's not usually early, but He's always right on time. Amen? All right. How much time do I have? 10 minutes? So the Holy Ghost is done at 11:15. Yeah, 11:15. Okay.
Okay, I have a testimony about that my grace is sufficient. Uh-huh. Okay, when our cousin was in suicide and he was in suicide. I think it was the next summer, our aunt came to our house over on Crestwood Drive, and I just remember going out to our backyard, and she was sitting there with her Bible open, and I just asked her, I said, Aunt Frances, how are you getting through this? And she said, His grace.
Amen.
And I've always thought that. She just had the most peaceful look on her face. You know, she just lost her oldest son, and I was just amazed. His grace is sufficient.
You know what? You can even have dying grace. I've watched so many people die. And some folks that don't have, it's awful to watch them die. But there are other folks. You know the young summer intern that's coming this summer? I've told y'all about him a little bit. His name's Grace. Not Grace. I'm going to call Gaines this afternoon and say, you're full of grace, Gaines. Gaines Keaton. I buried his grandmama. She was a neighbor of mine. Sweet, sweet lady. Almost 90 years old when she died. She was in our hospital down there in Waynesboro. And we knew she was dying. She just had a minute or two to live. And she'd been kind of unconscious. And she sat up in the bed and smiled this huge smile. And her face lit up like a light bulb. And she said, I'm going home. And she laid back down. And that was it. God will even give you dying grace when you need it. Hallelujah. Grace and peace. And so here's the final thing we got about, let's see, the Holy Spirit's going to give me 7 minutes. All right. The Christian life completes us. The Christian life completes us. Look again at verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always. How often? How much? Always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So the Christian life, now there's three, now some of y'all probably don't write in your Bibles. I don't write in mine, not in my preaching Bible. I write in my study Bible. But there's three words in those verses I just read you ought to circle. You know what they are? Yeah, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is the Christians in Colossae were full of faith. Paul had even heard about their faith. You see, when we come to Christ, we come to saving faith, and we have faith in Christ. But that faith ought to be developed. And by the way, somebody else ought to look at our lives and see us and how we're living and know that We've got faith. If you want to learn how to swim, what do? You got to get in the water. And in order for your faith to grow and mature, man, you got to get in the game. You got to leave the parking lot, because the mission field is all around us. And let me encourage you this week. Rock Collins is going to be preaching, I think, on evangelism and sharing your faith and that kind of thing. But did y'all know, guess what the statistics tell us about, we can talk about Southern Baptists because that's who we are. Out of 100 Southern Baptists, how many of those folks share their faith on a regular basis? Ding, ding, ding. On a regular basis, 4. And that's why we got 85% of the folks that live here. Faith. And then there's love. The word for love there that Paul uses is the word agape. And agape love is what kind of love? No, that's phileo. Unconditional. Sacrificial. Agape love. Supernatural love. Godly love. You know, we're supposed to love everybody. But y'all know, there's some folks harder to love than others. So how do you love folks that are hard to love? EGRs, extra grace required. Y'all have heard me say it before. To dwell above with the saints we love, oh, that'll be glory. But to live below with some of the saints we know, oh, that's another story. Anyways, God can teach us and provide the kind of love that we need. And that's what people need today, brothers and sisters. They need love, unconditional, sacrificial, godly love. And then there's the final word there, hope, there in verse 5. The Colossians were known for their, they had hallmark hope. They were known for it. What do y'all know about hope? I'm going to let y'all close this Bible study. What do y'all know about hope? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So what do y'all know about hope? What is our hope? Who is our hope? I believe it's Titus 2 or 3. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Him. He's our hope. And we have something concrete to put our hope in because of who He is and what He has done. Listen to this. A man fell off the side of a cliff and grabbed a small tree that was growing out of the side of the cliff, which left him hanging above a 400-foot drop. He cried out, "Is there anyone up there? If there is, please help." God answered back, "This is God, and I'm going to help. Now you let go." To which the man screamed, "Is there anybody else up there?" Our hope and our help is bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, He's coming back to get us. And bless God, I'm going to get up and go with Him. That's our hope. Faith, love, and hope. The Christian life completes us. So that's the first 5 verses of Colossians. So we'll dive in next week unless Mike gets back. Well, no, he won't have time to prepare. They're coming home next Saturday. So we'll get back into Colossians unless Billy has a miraculous healing. And do pray for him. And I hope y'all come on back out Tuesday night. What's on TV on Tuesday night? Absolutely, N-O-T-H-I-N-G. So y'all come on back Tuesday night, and about 6:30, 6:45, it's going to be a great, great evening. And you'll get to hear what our Cumberland Baptist Association is doing, and you're going to hear a little bit about what our Tennessee Baptist Mission Board is doing, and then you're going to get sent out of here on some Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, Christ-honoring preaching. And you'll love Rock College. Do y'all remember the rally on the river we had down here 4 years ago? Y'all remember that? And the place was packed out on Wednesday night. I mean, packed out. Remember that? Philip Chambers was over here dancing up and down the keyboard. And Alan Guy had been leading in worship and music. And y'all remember that? And then old Rock Collins got up and preached the lights out. That's who Rock Collins is. Some of y'all remember him. He preached at a convention, Janelle. One of our conventions, it was a Southern Baptist convention, and there were thousands of pastors there. And one of our leaders walked to the pulpit after Rock had finished preaching, and he said, "You preach like a black man in white skin." And that's how I'm going to introduce him Tuesday night. So y'all will want to hear Rock. He's a fantastic man of God, and we've got some other churches that will be here, other pastors. And I'm just looking. This is going to be a great week. Y'all, if y'all not looking for a great week, you're not going to get one. Anticipate it. Then Wednesday night up on the downtown commons, that's going to be a great night. We're going to have some good music and good singing. And I don't know if we're going to be doing any Church of Acapella stuff, but that would be good, Mel. And so y'all come on back Wednesday night up on the hill, and we're just going to have a great week. Faith, hope, and love. I had one of those at my last church, and that's true. When you leave this parking lot, man, we're out there amongst them, the mission field. And that's where God wants us. Right above the door. That's good. Anything else from anybody, y'all? Any announcements? Larry?
We had a sign at the police fire line.
Cut! Oh, mercy me. Adam, we appreciate you and Nikki and all the work y'all put in this week to reach some students. Pray for us, would you?
God, we just come to you today and pray to watch over all of us. We pray for all that you've done, and that just gives us strength to go through this week. And for everything happening Tuesday, be with everybody that's coming, and all the hands are preparing.
Yes, Lord.
We pray for Wednesday that students will come.
Yes, Lord.
And whatever many that we just can get down there and enjoy your worship.
Mm-hmm.
We pray that the students will come, and love on them. Just let us be the hands and feet, Lord. Praise us in your name.